Our featured story, we're going to talk all about the Epstein files, which were finally published this week, although not all of them. And you might recall where we left off on this story. Trump had closed this case in July. And understand what actually took place. He didn't stall. He didn't postpone the release of the files. He didn't even say he wouldn't release them. In July, he said there are no files. Trump said there are no Epstein files. They don't exist. There aren't any. He said the only thing that is left to disclose is all child porn. In other words, it's the actual video or photo recordings of underage girls. He said, those are the only articles of evidence that are out there. There's no emails, there's no texts, letters, there's no other persons of interest, no third parties, there's no other investigations. They said none of that is real. To which the people replied, that's obviously a lie. And not only is it a lie, but it's a cover-up. Now you're actively complicit and involved in the cover-up of the Epstein conspiracy, which is arguably worse. And so this happened back in July. Congress was about to go into recess for the summer, but they took their recess almost a month early because Republicans and Democrats were going to work together to force the DOJ to release the files. So Congress literally went home early. They shut down all their official business and they went home early for no reason other than that if they stayed in session, they might have been forced to release the Epstein files. So they went into recess. Then when they returned, there was the government shutdown. It's interesting timing, isn't it? Sort of convenient. Then all of a sudden, the Democrats shut down the government for no reason at all. They shut down early. Then they go on recess. Then they come back, and for literally no reason, the Democrats said it was about Obamacare subsidies, but as we discussed earlier in the week, they agreed to open the government without getting Obamacare subsidies. So that was not the real reason. They shut down the government, and it's the longest government shutdown in history. 45 days. Now that the government has reopened, okay, understand the timeline. This has been like a four-month shutdown from July. The DOJ shuts it down on July 7th. Congress goes into recess a couple weeks after that. They come back, longest government shutdown ever. They just reopened the government this week. And now, here it is. The House Oversight Committee releases the first tranche of Epstein files. And this is a story from the New York Times. We're going to work through it, and we'll talk about some of the specific emails that were released. That says, quote, "The mocking and accusatory voice of Jeffrey Epstein emerged from a trove of more than 20,000 emails made public by lawmakers on Wednesday, including his claim that President Trump once spent hours at my house on the island with a young woman who later accused Mr. Epstein of sexually abusing and trafficking her when she was a teenager." So according to the emails, Epstein places Trump potentially on his island while child sexual abuse was occurring. This is in the first trove. "In a series of emails with friends and associates, Mr. Epstein described Mr. Trump as a dirty businessman who was borderline insane, untrustworthy, and worse in real life and up close than the image he sought to portray to the public. The document dump was the latest act in the rapidly unfolding political drama engulfing Speaker Mike Johnson and the Republican majority. They shuttered the House for the past 2 months, in part to forestall a bipartisan effort to force a floor vote on a bill which would compel the Justice Department and FBI to release a separate set of documents, this one involving their investigation into Mr. Epstein and his longtime associate Ghislaine Maxwell. That bid gathered enough supporters to force a vote within weeks, and Mr. Johnson said he would relent and bring it to a vote next week. Mr. Trump urged Republicans to reject any effort to revive a discussion of his relationship with Epstein, blaming Democrats for the release of the documents in a post on social media, writing they were trying to bring up the Epstein hoax again because they'll do anything at all to deflect on how badly they've done on the shutdown. So let's work through this piece by piece. First of all, maybe this is the most obvious thing about the files. The release of this batch of 20,000 emails proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is black and white, undeniable, that Trump is a liar. Trump lied about the files, and he lied in the furtherance of a conspiracy and a cover-up of the Epstein scandal. Because what his Department of Justice said in July is that there are no files. They didn't say there are no persons of interest. They didn't say there is no third-party investigation. They didn't say that there's nothing germane to a future investigation. They said there are no files, and they insisted upon this for months. They denied the existence of the files. And we all knew that was a lie. We knew that because it was reported to us that in May, Trump instructed the FBI to go through those files and look for his name. And they found it all over the place. And they told him that. And Trump lied that he didn't know whether his name was in the files. But he did, because he was worried about it. He knew it. And he got the FBI to comb through the files and confirm it. Then months later, he said there are no files. Well, as of yesterday, now that we have the 20,000 emails, we know that he lied. There are Epstein files, and what was delivered to the public were emails and other communications, and they do contain Trump's name. And some of it is relevant, and some of it is not, and some of it we can chalk it up to a personal rivalry or feud, and maybe some of it is relevant. But what we know at the minimum is that Trump lied about the files to cover them up. That is awfully suspicious given that Jeffrey Epstein died under the custody of Trump's government in 2019. And people forget this. But Epstein was rearrested by Trump's DOJ. He was rearrested when Trump was president. And where Epstein died, where he allegedly killed himself, it was in a facility that was technically under the jurisdiction of Bill Barr, Trump's attorney general. So this is not a good look. If a sex trafficker, serial blackmailer, intelligence operative, or mercenary, if he is arrested and dies under mysterious circumstances in Trump's custody, and Trump comes back to power and then covers up all the files relevant to the investigation of that person and his death, it's confirmed that he lies. And when the files come out, he's named all over them. Not a good look, to say the least. That's in the first place. Now, let's talk about Trump's response. Trump says that this entire thing is political. It's a political attack. It's a distraction from Trump's agenda. He says that Democrats are leaning into it. He contends that Thomas Massie, a Republican who has voted for the release of the documents, he says Massie is leaning into it because they are out to get Trump and they want to derail the agenda. And by the way, I think there is some truth to this. Has to be. Because it is true that Joe Biden was president for 4 years and Democrats controlled the House and the Senate under Joe Biden. And so if the Democrats wanted disclosure on the files, they could have released it from 2021 to 2023. And if Republicans and Democrats wanted to release the files, they could have done it at any time between 2023 and 2025. There is some truth to that. And you see a lot of Republican operatives on Twitter saying this. This is the line. They say, who cares about Epstein? Some of them argue that Epstein wasn't even a pedophile. They say Epstein was preying on girls who are 15, 16 years old. And other people are saying that that's not technically a child. It's maybe unethical, but it's not the same category, which maybe there's some truth to that. But this is sort of the line. They say, if Democrats really cared, they would have gotten to the bottom of it. They say, if Republicans cared, they would have gotten to the bottom of it. They're doing it now for political reasons. That's the Republican line. Here's the problem. And anybody that tells you that, tell them this. If this is a distraction, then why doesn't Trump release the files then? If Trump is innocent, maybe he's named in the files, but it's not criminal. Maybe he's named in the files, but it's not damning. If all it is a big circus and it's just meant to distract from Trump's important work, then why would he not release the files himself? He runs the DOJ. He runs the FBI. If he picked up the phone and called Pam Bondi, she would do it. If he called Kash Patel, he would do it. The files are under his jurisdiction. He has the power to release them. So this doesn't really work. You can't say it's a giant distraction and the only reason they want to release the files is to hurt me. There's nothing really there. In other words, I'm not guilty. I'm not a criminal. This is just being drummed up, basically, as a political attack. You can't say that, but at the same time say, I'm going to lie about the existence of the files. I'm going to bury the files. I'm going to actively work to cover them up and obstinately refuse to release them. You can't have both at the same time. If you're guilty, you're covering them up, and we need a valid reason why they're being buried. If you're not guilty and it's just political, then you need to disclose the files and release them. And then there is no political attack. But you can't have it both ways. That much is obvious. And that's the problem. And this gets to the fundamental issue. Whether there is impropriety or only the appearance of impropriety, it makes no difference. Trump campaigned last year on disclosure, on transparency. His words, not ours. He made the promise. We didn't. He, and by the way, his entire group, Don Jr. and Fox News and all these conservative activists for like 5 years, all they did was talk about Epstein, Epstein Island and the Epstein list and the Black Book and Bill Clinton. They did that for 5 years. Ever since Epstein died in 2019, this has been the line right up through the last election. And Trump promised to that end, I will be different. I will clarify everything. We will have a transparent government. You will know where the government stands, whether we're owned and blackmailed, whether there is this intelligence penetration of our system and whether they're extorting people or not. And that's really kind of important about the legitimacy of our government. He promised that. And then what we have seen basically ever since is obstruction, lies, and cover-ups. Think about the timeline. He says he'll release the files. He gets in, and there's this big show of releasing the files. He appoints Anna Paulina Luna from the House to oversee the process, and it's fake. Then they do this big binder release photo op at the White House with D.C. Drano and the idiot Mike Cernovich and Jack Posobiec, the goof, and Scott Pressler in his cowboy boots and ponytail. Do you remember that ridiculous demonstration? And all these people are out there outside the East Wing with their binders for the photo op. Oh, look, we're most transparent admin in history, by the way. And it's BS. The whole thing's fake. No files, no disclosure. Everybody quickly realizes this. They say, wait a second, upload what you gave them in the binders to the internet, which they then did. And then people comb through the files and they determine there's nothing new in them. So then people say, what's really going on here? You appoint a congresswoman to get to the bottom of it. You do this big disclosure. It's all fake. The FBI and the DOJ respond, the files are on our desk. Then in May, Trump tells the FBI, go through the files, look for my name, because he knows it's there. They tell him it's there. In July, this is the best part. Bibi Netanyahu visits the White House for the third time on 7/7/2025. I'm not making this up. Google the timeline. On July 7th, 7/7/25, add 2 plus 5. I'm not a numerology guy, but it's a little weird. In his third visit on 7/7 to celebrate bombing Iran, Netanyahu visits the White House. And the day before he arrives, literally the day before, the DOJ announces there are no files, case closed, it's over. Trump, for 3 weeks, engages in damage control. He orders the Speaker of the House to close Congress so they don't get forced by Thomas Massie to compel the release of the files. And now here we are, 4 months later, after the longest shutdown in history, and we see there are files. Trump's name is all over them. He lied. And now 100 Republicans are going to defect and vote in favor of releasing the rest of the files next week. This is a crisis of Trump's own making. You have no one to blame but yourself. You can't blame your own base for asking you to do what you promised to do. You can't say that your base doesn't see the bigger picture or they're conspiracy theorists. If you played into that for years, which you did, the chickens have come home to roost now. They leaned into this stuff. They promised it. And you could say they bit off more than they can chew. Then you lied brazenly and openly. You tried to trick people. It didn't work. And now the chickens have come home to roost. And here's the issue. This goes to the center of what the Trump revolution is all about. And I've been saying this for weeks and months and years now. The whole idea behind Trumpism, fundamentally, it's an anti-corruption movement. Don't you know that? At the bottom of it, MAGA, it's not really about being conservative. It's not super conservative. It's not about being libertarian. It's not about being Republican. The core of the MAGA message was about anti-corruption. It was an anti-corruption campaign. Because the first thing that Trump said is, I'm a self-funder. I'm a billionaire. I'm so rich that I cannot be bought. And what's the implication? The implication is Congress and the president is bought by the money. And they're compromised in all sorts of ways. They're compromised by money and the quid pro quo, those expectations. They're compromised in other ways by blackmail. They're controlled by the media. And so the fundamental premise of Trumpism is, I can't be bought, therefore I'm incorruptible. That was the point. If I put up $70 million to run my primary campaign and I'm a billionaire, maybe I could do that in the general. And if I have all small dollar donors, the people can literally overthrow the corrupt government. All the super PACs, all the billionaires, all the money will be against. But if we have one billionaire and a ton of small dollar donors, and maybe some like small business owner, millionaire types, then maybe we really could have a president that isn't beholden to anybody. So that's actually central to the MAGA message. This idea of draining the swamp, it's not like it's one among other things that's critical. And Epstein epitomizes this problem, because what is the Epstein playbook? He's got a private island. Why? So that he controls who goes there. And he can see everything and record everything that happens. That's the point. There's no jurisdiction. He's got a private island. He's got his townhouse in Manhattan rigged with cameras and microphones. Why? He's in bed with the Israeli government, the British government, the American government. His entire operation is to entice and induce powerful people to let their guard down so that he can compromise them with blackmail and then control them on behalf of some entity. Who even knows? Probably Israeli intelligence. But honestly, who knows? Maybe he's a mercenary. Maybe he worked with Israeli intelligence and British intelligence and or the CIA. Most likely Israeli intelligence. But that gets to the heart of why people don't trust the government. Because people have this idea that the reason America is losing, you know, why are we powerful and rich, but the country's getting worse? It's because of the leadership. The leadership is steering us into the rocks because they're being manipulated. They're being controlled with money or blackmail or by shadowy forces. And so the whole Trump revolution was saying, let's turn the lights on. Let's put the spotlight on this. Let's get back in control of the government. There's no reason we should be failing. Let's fire all the bad people. Let's expose all the criminals, throw the corrupt people in jail, and then we can make Americans' lives better. And people like Epstein would be first on that list, and all of his clients. If Bill Clinton was running with Epstein, we need to get to the bottom of that. In fucking public, needs to be on the news. There needs to be a full court press. There needs to be the court of public opinion weighing in on whether Bill Clinton was in bed with Epstein. And the rest of them, when that sort of thing is going on, it needs to be exposed. So if Trump gets elected and he has a history with Epstein, I'm sure Trump is worried about that. So the Trump government picks him up and then he dies mysteriously. Trump comes back. Now they bury the files. And this is what I said from the start. This is so damning for MAGA because it severs the trust between the people and Trump. It says definitively, wow, you're really just like the rest of them, aren't you? You are a fucking criminal. You're a liar. You're a criminal. You engaged in a conspiracy and a cover-up at the highest level, and we just don't know. We can't give you the benefit of the doubt. Epstein is the worst of the worst. He was a sex trafficker. He did traffic underage girls. He was involved with multiple foreign governments. He got his billions under mysterious circumstances. He was involved with the mega group and Jewish billionaires. And you knew him, and you were friends with him, and he died under your watch, and now you're covering it up. So you can show us everything at this point. It will not eradicate the doubt that has been sown in the minds of the people. And you did it to yourself. And to me, that signals the end of MAGA. It's over. Trump can do a lot of things and not lose support from his followers. He can bomb Iran and make a justification for why that is in America's interest. I wouldn't say that's even possible, but the cult of personality is strong, and he can bury the jobs report, and he can fumble the trade negotiations. He can get away with a lot of policy-related things. There's a lot of room to say that it's hard to reform the system or that people should manage their expectations. But something like this, something so ugly and which so epitomizes the corruption of the system, which he swore to fight against, for him to be caught on the carpet like this, lying to everybody, how do you come back from that? And that's what's going to happen next week, is Ro Khanna and the Democrats and Thomas Massie and maybe 100 Republicans are going to vote to force the DOJ to release all the files, and who knows what we're going to find. These are some of the things we got from the existing trove. This is a couple of emails. One of them, this is from, I believe, Daily Mail. It says, during a November 2017 email chain with Epstein, Faith Cates, who co-founded a modeling agency, asked the financier where he was spending Thanksgiving. After a few exchanges, she asked, who else is there? Epstein replied, David Fizel, Hansen, Trump. November 2017. That's Trump's first Thanksgiving in the White House. Are you telling me that Donald Trump had Thanksgiving dinner with Jeffrey Epstein when he was the president? Are you kidding me? That is what is in the files, the 20,000 emails that were released yesterday. We don't even have all of them. And this Department of Justice said the files didn't exist. And they knew that this was in them? Really? How do you expect anybody to ever trust the Trump government ever again? You think that you had the right to bury this? Wouldn't that be pretty relevant if Donald Trump, as the newly elected president, sat down for Thanksgiving, his first one in office with Jeffrey Epstein, after his labor secretary, Alex Acosta, recently appointed, was the one that gave Epstein the sweetheart deal 10 years prior? That's not in the public interest. That's a non-existent file. You think the public has no right to know? Why do you think they buried the files? It's because this stuff is all over, and this isn't even all of it. Of course now we need to see all of it. Of course now we need to get to the bottom of it. If they were hiding this, and they lied about this, that this even existed, what else are they lying about? What else has been destroyed? This is what exists. This is what they did not shred. Understand, Epstein was arrested 20 years ago. You think all those documents are intact? This is what is left. This is out of the 20,000 files that were released of what is left. You expect the people to trust the Trump government after that? That's like something Trump needs to be subpoenaed for that. Like, obviously, Trump needs to be subpoenaed by Congress. Did you have Thanksgiving dinner with Jeffrey Epstein? Under penalty of perjury, did you have Thanksgiving dinner with Jeffrey Epstein when you were president? Which Trump was Epstein talking about? The public needs to know that, actually. Can this be corroborated? Does he have an alibi? Is this what it's really come to? How sad is that? After Bill Clinton's indiscretion and his corruption, after George W. Bush and the lie in Iraq, after Obama and all of his corruption, fast and furious, the Biden administration, their censorship, the COVID vax, all the lies that happened, the lie that was his presidency, that he was even in control. Is this really what it's come to? That Trump is covering this up, lying about it. Now we have to haul his fat ass before a congressional committee and have him testify under oath that he didn't have dinner with Epstein as president? If that doesn't paint a picture for you of what a sad state of affairs this is, I don't know what does. I don't know what other argument can be made. How pathetic that is. Does that not completely betray the fundamental spirit of what this whole thing is about, which is that for 35 years, we don't even know who's in control? And maybe even longer than that. I mean, realistically, ever since JFK was shot in the head, we have no idea who's running this country. There is no sense of legitimacy. There is no faith in the institutions. And why would there be when they always lie and conspire? And when they're always wrapped up in things like this. And Trump is no different. We elected Trump as a reaction to Obama. Obama was elected as a reaction to Bush. What comes after this? And people wonder why I have an appeal. People say, why does this guy have any kind of appeal? Because this is what we have been treated to for my entire life since I was born. That has been the United States of America. I was born in the middle of the Monica Lewinsky scandal, right into 9/11 and the Iraq war, right into Obama, and then all of this. That's why. And every other Generation Z, Gen Alpha, feels the same way. Here's the other interesting email. A 2011 email sent by Jeffrey Epstein says that U.S. President Trump spent hours with one of the victims. The email was sent to Epstein's former girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell. It said, quote, I want you to realize that that dog that hasn't barked is Trump. The victim spent hours at my house with him. He has never once been mentioned, Epstein wrote. It's not clear what Epstein was referring to. The email was sent to Maxwell 2 years after Epstein spent 13 months in prison for sex crimes. He describes Trump as the dog that hasn't barked. The dog that hasn't barked. He knew and apparently was present for an extended period of time, maybe on the island where Epstein was assaulting his underage victims. These are the files that Trump knew about, knew his name was in, lied anyway, told us they didn't exist, told them they're fake, it's a hoax, we're falling for it, I don't want your vote. He cries out in pain. Watch how he recoils. Is this how MAGA dies? And think about it. You know, and on some level, here's what's really sad. You want to know what's really sad? On some level, there would be so much more good faith and goodwill, or maybe even a willingness to give Trump the benefit of the doubt if things were going differently, but they're not. There are no mass deportations. 50-year mortgages, H-1B visas, we need the labor, they say. 600,000 Chinese students, we're bombing Iran, we're bombing Yemen, we're building a military base in Gaza, they're getting ready to give Israel $40 billion more dollars. If Trump were delivering on the real victories for Americans, maybe there'd be some benefit of the doubt. Maybe, and you can think this is good or not good, maybe there'd be more of a willingness to overlook this if there was success. But this is only the cherry on top. This is only the best part. Not only are we not winning, the deficit is exploding, corporate tax cuts for the rich, bombs in Iran for Israel, foreign aid for Israel, foreign aid for Ukraine. It's endless like this. The cheap labor for agriculture and cheap labor for big tech. It's endless. The failures are endless and they're piling up. It's that. And then on top of it, there's no transparency and rampant corruption. And obviously these things go together. Why do you think it is? Here's the question. Why do you think it is? Let's once again consider the timeline. Elon Musk enters the Oval Office for the last time in the middle of May with a black eye. Remember that? Or did that get memory hold? Elon Musk steps into the Oval Office for the final time in the middle of May with a giant black eye. Trump later commented that Elon was offered makeup to cover it up. But Trump cryptically said he refused the makeup because he wanted people to see it. Real quote. Look that up. Elon said that his baby son hit him in the face and gave him a black eye. He was punched by little X, the toddler, who gave him a black eye. Grown man, this is, by the way. And do you remember how that meeting went? It didn't go well. And when Elon left the Oval Office, he went on Twitter and said the reason Trump will not release the Epstein files is because he is in them. Remember that? What happened a week after those comments? Israel bombed Iran. A week after that happened, after that little dust up, Israel bombed Iran. A week after Israel bombed Iran, the United States joined in and bombed Iran. The war started on June 13th, 613. You know, there's 613 commandments in the Mishnah. The Jews believe there are 613 commandments in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. So on June 13th, they launched the war. The United States entered a week later. And then when Bibi Netanyahu came to visit the White House to celebrate the end of the war on 7-7, July 7th, it was before that visit that the DOJ released their memo announcing that the Epstein files did not exist and there would be no further investigation. It's interesting timing, wouldn't you say? Interesting bookends. Elon comes in with the black eye and goes out saying Trump is in the files. A week later, the war starts, and Israel successfully goads the United States into finally bombing Fordo, something they wanted for 20 years, which Trump did not want to do. And then when Netanyahu comes to visit and celebrate his third visit, the completion of the war, what he wanted since Trump got into office, maybe why Netanyahu got Trump into office. It's on 7-7 that the files are buried. You think all that's a big coincidence? And what this obviously points at, what everybody knows, is that probably he is compromised in some way by the files. Who knows what's in them? Who knows what the Israelis have? The U.S. government has files. The Israeli government has files. Epstein and his allies in the Israeli government, you think that Israel doesn't have information on Epstein and who Epstein knew? Maybe we have some of the files. Maybe Israel has other files. Who knows? Why do you think it was timed that way? Maybe they sent Trump a message. Maybe they sent Elon a message. But this is the kind of stuff that we voted for Trump because we hated to see. It's weird. It's creepy. It doesn't make sense. It seems to go all the way to the top. People having black eyes, conspiracies, outright lies about sex trafficking, pedophile scandals on secret islands, wars in the Middle East that nobody wants over a nuclear program that doesn't exist. Isn't this why we elected Trump? Think about it. In 2016, Trump said the war in Iraq was a mistake. Your brother let 9/11 happen. That's not keeping us safe. They knew there were weapons of mass destruction. There weren't any. We don't even have it. Remember that? Trump was literally elected in the primary contra George W. Bush and the initial false pretense to get us into a 20-year war in Iraq, which was WMDs. Now here we are, another war under false pretenses over WMDs, nuclear weapons. And now we have the files coming out. It all stinks. And it's like, what? Here's the question that everybody is now asking after all this. What can we possibly do next so that we get a different outcome? Because Trump was elected because he was so radical, so outside the beltway, so different, so unconventional, so direct, and not politically correct. Like, he was elected because we thought he would turn Washington upside down. What can we possibly do to get a different outcome? You elect Bush, you get a war. You elect Obama, you get a war. You elect Trump, you get a war. Biden, a war. So what do we have to do? Who do we actually have to elect to set something right? And then people say, why is Nick Fuentes popular? Why do people say Nick Fuentes should run for president? I'm not going to run for president, in part because I'm too young. But it's like, why do you think people are embracing this show? Why do you think people are embracing this? Because they will take an edgelord over a sex criminal. They will take an edgelord. They will tolerate a racist. They will tolerate someone who they consider to be odious over somebody who is raping our country and selling out our country and compromised by the worst people in the world to give us war. It's the most evil shit imaginable. You're covering up a child sex trafficking ring because you're implicated in it. And the consequence of this is you have to give Israel missiles to murder children by the millions and drag your own country into another war, the very kind of war that you ran to stop. Like, there's layers of evil here. Sex crimes and murder and conspiracy and treachery and deceit. All of it. And people are so disgusted and furious. And they're just, I'm telling you, the people of the country are furious. You think I'm angry? I'm at least a little cheerful. The people of this country are furious. They are beside themselves. How much longer and how much more of this do you think people will tolerate? How much more of it do you think people will take? How many more weird school shootings and weird assassination attempts, sex trafficking rings, wars? How much more of this do you think people will take? How many more dead Charlie Kirks, weird stuff going on around that? How much more of that do you think people can take before they're ready to vote for something really radical? Something destabilizing. That's where this is all going. All of it. We want a fucking country. We don't want to be invaded by 10 million illegals in 4 years. We don't want to go to war with Iran over fake nuclear weapons. We don't want a government that's apparently in bed with child sex traffickers. Is it too much to ask? Are those unreasonable demands? Am I a Nazi for saying this? Seriously. 10 million illegals in 4 years? A war with Iran over nuclear weapons that don't even exist. Is that a joke? Epstein files being buried? Aren't you the guy that was going to stop all this? Who are you? It's like, what is this, Bill Clinton and George Bush put together? I mean, we elected Trump as a repudiation of the legacy of all these presidents. He's all of them rolled into one. He's a warmonger like Bush. He's a sex criminal like Bill Clinton. He's demented like Joe Biden. We elected him to repudiate these presidents. He's all of them put together. And we can't even deport illegal aliens. We're deporting anti-Semites. America's a sleeping giant. And this is why we want to wake up the country. The country's furious. There's anger. There's so much potential energy in the country. And all it's going to take, watch. It's going to be a crisis. It'll be maybe a mass casualty event. Economic meltdown, World War III will pop off, whether it's in the Taiwan Strait or it's in Iran or it's, but the war is coming. All of these things are hurtling towards us, and then it's going to explode and a sleeping giant will wake up. America will wake up. And I just hope that we have a benevolent tyrant. I just hope that whoever that tyrant is, whoever emerges, whether it will be of the left or of the right, I just hope that tyrant will be benevolent, because that's kind of the last card that we have to play here. It's like, what if everything blew up and some forceful warlord seized power, like we're at French Revolution levels of chaos and dysfunction, the late czarist Russia levels of dysfunction. That's clearly where this is headed. I don't say this because I want that to happen. I don't say this because I think that will be good. I think it will be horrifying. And I think it's preventable. But Trump was the opportunity to stop all this, and it didn't happen. So I say that with great sadness and wariness. But I feel like that's where we're headed. I've been telling you that. So that's the Epstein files. Heavy stuff, man. It's not a joke. Trump would not be so hell-bent on covering it up if he wasn't worried about what was in it. And who would be compelling the release of this if it was not some sort of lever to use against Trump? And for what? Something evil, obviously, of course, something that the people don't want. They capture the flag and they get the government to go against the people. This is a story from the start.